it's just turned 20 past 12. Well, I'm just finished now. So it's just turned my birthday. Happy birthday, John. I've moved in today on the 16th of June. I'm really, really pleased to be in. Absolutely ecstatic to be in. I know I don't sound it. But I'm just looking around now. I've got all my stuff here. It's looking really good. I'm really, really pleased with it. And I'm not really getting on with this. I have to admit, I was starting to feel a bit self-conscious, recording a voice note all on my own in the dark. And so I switched off my phone, I turned out the record player and I lay on the sofa, drifting off to the sounds of one of my favourite bands. I played album after album, beer in hand, and thought back to where I was living a year ago. And I couldn't help it, I got really emotional. I'm John Bennett and this is episode 6. Welcome to my home. So as we come up at the drive then, we can't see the garden until we get to the,
yeah, exactly,
to the corner of the property.
So it'll suddenly appear.
So you might smell the garden before you see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, maybe you get little hints of it. You might smell the lavender, the thyme or the rosemary.
You probably know this by now, but my house is tucked away behind Bill's house. So imagine you've just turned into the drive and you're now standing in front of a white semi-detached council house. The garden is a hive of activity with people from the media centre planting and landscaping. That'll be those loud noises you can hear in the background. George, the project architect, and Arthur, the landscape gardener, are taking us down to the house, telling us about the ideals behind the garden along the way.
So, we've got a lovely stone-covered driveway. Yep. We've got timber curbs around the edge of the driveway and the edge of the paths. These are old railway sleepers that we put in, and they're containing a load of wood chip that was donated to us from a local tree surgeon. So it's kind of trying to reuse and upcycle where we can.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, then we've got the sort of young lavender plants dotted around at the minute. They look quite kind of small and new to its new home, but soon enough they'll be bushy and sturdy looking.
I mean, we all love lavender, but the main reason for planting it is to make things as easy as possible for me.
One of the key focuses was low maintenance.
Right.
So rather than, you know, people having to go outside and chop things down and keep it trim in that sense, you maintain it by harvesting the crops. Right.
We walk down the gravel path.
Then we get to the bin and bike store.
These are two large wooden cupboards that come up to about shoulder height. On top of them is a layer of soil. Melissa, the project lead, is up a ladder planting.
Thyme, rosemary, and sage. I think that's it.
Which means I still have a green roof. Think of all the herby potatoes I can make with that. We keep walking down the path towards my house, down the side of the fence I built around Bill's garden.
As we hit the end of the bin and bike stores, this is where the blank canvas begins for John to start filling in the gaps.
And this is also where things get a bit more advanced, shall we say. Recently, a local gardener, Don, he gave me a few pots of flowers you typically find in an English garden.
Phlox, verbena,
petunia, geranium. And they're flowering like mad. There's pink, there's purple, there's white. They're not native to Britain, so they have the potential to feed more insects, which have been in decline for decades.
Look at that, there's an insect now looking for the pollen. The reason the gardeners like it, because the flower's out for longer, which means there's more pollen for the insects for longer.
I do want to attract as many insects and animals as possible, because if we make mine and Bill's garden just a little bit more biodiverse, we've already started to improve biodiversity in Knowle West as a whole. It's urban acupuncture, remember? So keep walking over the gravel, and in front of you is a wooden single-storey house. It's short and wide, with a stylish porch. It has a Scandinavian kind of feel to it, crisp and clean like the inside of a sauna, but redder thanks to the beautiful cedar cladding. This, unbelievably, is my home. You take the shoes off, open the door, and step onto my painstakingly laid floor. In its previous life as a sports hall floor, it saw 60 years of teenagers' feet, but here in my house, it is as good as new, properly sanded and varnished and framed by a rope at the walls. It's lovely and light in here with a big skylight overhead. You look around.
How would you describe your dad's style?
All grapes, weren't it?
Not everyone's taste. You like
industrial
stuff.
Isn't
it? There's not actually theme to it or anything, is there?
No, it's what you can get out of what you got, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at your ever since I signed up to We Can Make 4 years ago, I've been collecting bits of wood to make furniture for my home.
So you're welcome to it.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Oh, thanks so much for that. And storing them wherever I can. Hey, Steve, the guy who serves the yard with me, he's been slowly going through sorting his stuff out. Here I am, more than a year ago, back at the yard, showing Eloise, my producer, the storage shed. There are all kinds of things in here.
15 bikes there for a bike project in Norwest. Engine parts.
And most importantly,
these are my benches for the table.
Like all good benches, these ones started with my job, a bread knife and a nearby forest.
Goblin Coombe is 130 acres of woodland and a 38-bed bunkhouse on the outskirts of Bristol, close to Bristol Airport.
And I am the caretaker there.
Always used by schools, youth groups.
Every year when the school leavers finish, they have a party in the woods, which we all did when we were kids ourselves, let's be fair. But last year, they managed to burn the shelter down.
I don't think it was deliberate, but I get the wood out. This is what it looked like when I started. It's basically black charred wood. Looks like charcoal, looks like the sort of stuff you put on your barbecue, but in a plank size.
Yeah, it looks like it's seen a serious fire.
Yeah. But when you look at the end of it, it's only penetrated like the first 3 or 4 millimetres of the wood. What I'll do there, I'll get a bread knife and scrape all the black charcoal off. Then I get a wire brush and get the finer bits off, and then I start to sand it then with heavy sandpaper to start with, and then get finer and finer as we go along.
I pick up a plank I'd already prepared and I show Eloise. Once I've scraped off all the burnt bits, you can see it's not just any old wood.
Because it was used for an outdoor shelter, it's what they call C24 wood, which is probably the best structurally sound wood you can buy. So basically it's the centre of the tree, it's the heartwood of a tree. And if you look in the middle, you'll see the concentric rings on it.
Each one of those rings represents a year's growth. And the tighter they are, the stronger the tree is.
And it's a feel of them as well. If you feel that front edge, they're really, really tactile. It's got like a real nice smooth feeling to it.
Yeah, really nice.
I ordered these planks and then built some benches and a table.
Yeah, are you ready?
Yeah. It stands on the edge of the living room to the left, but come with us straight ahead into the kitchen. In case you were wondering, the whole room is painted in jasmine white. Noah West Media Centre had some spare. And well, you know, I'd rather use that. You will notice the lovely tea-coloured tiles on my breakfast bar, which wraps around the kitchen and its warm wooden top. Originally, it was a real, real dark, cheeky colour because it was a seat of a pew that was in the courtyard at the park centre. Honestly, there's nothing like an old job paying dividends 6 years after you've left it.
So moving on, going around to the left of the breakfast hour, we got my record player.
My speakers are mounted on two steampunk-type tables that I bought at an auction a while back. This was the first thing I set up. At least then me and Emily could have music to play whilst we moved all the furniture in.
And the next to that is an engineering packing case. And now is my shed in my front room. I've got a shed in my front room, so I'll show you.
Oh my god, amazing.
I filled it with all my tools. I got my sanders in there, dust sheets, spirit level.
And it looks like a retro coffee table. But the piece of furniture I'm proudest of is behind you. And the last thing I've taken from a workplace of mine, well, so far that is. You sit on my grey sofa, that's it, with the mustard cushion. And imagine you're looking at the corner of the living room. Both walls are lined with what looks like a massive game of Jenga. But each wooden block is spread out and connected by something called key clamp tubing.
It's basically handrail and barriers. And I've got 5 tubes going from the floor almost to the ceiling, but then they do like a 90 degree angle straight into the walls. And I've put 8 shelves on them.
Which, of course, was also made from Goblin Coombe's burnt down shelter. The shelves are now displaying all my favourite things. Potted plants, birthday cards, Father's Day cards.
2 old wooden box planes, which belonged to my granddad. Got a piece of the original flooring, just to see how mucky it was. It's just a minging, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's like, so look how far you've come, John. Look how far you've come.
I found that the ups and downs was quite difficult to deal with, because it's been so long. And I've been on a bit of a rollercoaster ride myself in the last couple of years. I mean, I've gone from being married
in a family home. I moved out. I was living single. I was homeless in a shed, living quite a basic life. And then I went for just death in the family and stuff like that. So I've had last year was a really difficult year. And all through it, this has been in the background, bubbling on. My home situation has never been sorted. It hasn't been easy. It really hasn't been easy. It's been difficult. But Melissa's kind of said before, like, you know, you're pioneering, you're leading. We're the first people to do this. We're activists. We're doing something that's never been done before. We're building houses in people's back gardens, social housing in people's back gardens. When the idea was first sort of put out there, it seemed like a proper madcap idea. And I can remember some of the reactions were like, you can't do that. You can't take people's back gardens. That's wrong. And, you know, and then when people started coming out saying, well, actually, that would really work for my daughter who's pregnant and she can't get a council flat. Or somebody else, oh, that would really work for my dad. He's getting old. He's struggling with his house now and he can't get around. So it really... So the more we thought about it, the more it became, well, this is the answer to a problem. Not just one problem of housing, a shortage of housing, it's also of connections, of family connections. Now people can be, you can alleviate people's social dilemmas by bringing people closer together.
Right, Dad, I want
it. Like me and Dad. I live just 10 minutes away now, and he's just driven around for tea.
Beautiful. What you've done here, look, that there, and what you've done all this year, that's so original, John. It's very creative, huh, John? Absolutely brilliant. I'm going to have a look in the bedroom with it.
Don't go riding your bike anywhere, mate, right?
I was reluctant to move into here because I was living with Dad, and Dad's never lived on his own. But luckily, or unluckily, my nephew has split up from his girlfriend and he's moved in. He was quite keen to move into the room that I vacated. So, I think he's in a better place now as well. I move out, Steve moves in. It all makes you think how much relationships are defined by physical space. My marriage works in a certain way in a three-bedroom house. And now, well, it's going to become something new. I think I might see more of Bridget on her own now that I'm living here. But I think she'll probably come here as an adult now, not as granny. Or
you think she'll come here for a date?
And she probably will, actually. I mean, I'm definitely going to try and get her up here once a week for something to eat, because she just works from the moment she wakes up to the moment she goes to bed. At least if she's here, she can't do anything.
This is my bedroom, is it? Lovely. And I'm very impressed with this. This here.
For the bathroom.
That is beautiful, yeah, that is.
So there you go, my new home. The very sweet end to a very long road. But just before I fully settle in, I just want to check that Dad's going to be okay.
So how are you feeling now that I've moved out of yours?
Lonely.
Lonely?
Yeah. What? But I got our Steve with me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's not too bad. I'm missing you.
Are you? Why?
Because we used to talk like this, wasn't it?
Do you remember when you were a bit doubtful about this all happening and we didn't think it was going to happen?
Well, you get your doubts, but you've got to be positive, haven't you? But I didn't ever think I was going to lose my wife. Look, what can you do? I miss her terrible. But you can't. I can't set up home like this.
Moping.
Like you've told me.
Yeah.
Like you gave me a right telling off one day. I was there in the dumps, all crying and thing. Said, Dad, get a grip. She said, our mud's not ever coming back. Which is hard to say, but he was right. And I thought, well, yeah, you've got to be right.
Just get active, wasn't it?
That's what you've got to look at.
Get up and get out and about and keep moving forward, isn't it?
Like this. It looked like a shed, didn't it? But it's so different now. It's lovely.
What do you hope for me in the future, or for this in the future?
Oh, it gets on all right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling. And you still stay healthy.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And I come over every Tuesday for tea.
Yep.
But not egg and chips all the time.
Right. Well, egg on toast. Egg on toast was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Beans on toast.
I thought you'd had a steak, didn't you?
This is a No Bindings production, supported by Noah West Media Centre, Nationwide and the Audio Content Fund. It was produced by Eloise Stevens and Tatiana Powell. Executive produced by Stephen Rajam and presented by me, John Bennett.